ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 1 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड किंग सुद्युम्ना बिकम्स अ वेमन। टेक्स्ट नंबर 34। अतताम आश्रमाभ्यासे चरन्तीं प्रमदोत्तमां स्त्रीभिपरिवृतां वीक्ष्य चकमे भगवान् बुधः। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर ट्रांसलेशन। Sudyumna had been transformed into the best of the beautiful women who excite sexual desire and was surrounded by other women. Upon seeing this beautiful woman loitering near his ashrama, Buddha, the son of the moon, immediately desired to enjoy her. There is no purport, we'll just read till we come across a purport. Text number 35. The beautiful women also desired to accept Buddha, the son of the king of the moon, as her husband. Thus Buddha begot in her womb a son named Pururava. Text number 36. I heard from reliable sources that King Sudyumna, the son of Manu, having thus achieved femininity, remembered his familial spiritual master Vasishta. Text number 37. Satasya tam dasham drishtva kripaya brishapidita sudyumnasya shayan pumstvam upadavata shankaram. Upon seeing Sudyumna's deplorable condition, Vasishta was very much aggrieved. Desiring for Sudyumna to regain his maleness, Vasishta again began to worship Lord Shankar. Text number 38 and 39. Tushtas tasmai sa bhagavan rishaye priyamavahan swam cha vacham ritam kurvan idam ah vishampate. Masham pumam sa bhavita masam stri tava gotraja ittam yavastaya kamam sudyumno vatu medinim. O Kshet, Lord Shiva was pleased with Vasishta. Therefore, to satisfy him and to keep his own word to Parvati, Lord Shiva said to that saintly person, "Your disciple Sudyumna may remain a male for 1 month and a female for the next. In this way, he may rule the world as he likes." Purport. The word Gotraja is significant in this connection. Brahmanas generally act as spiritual masters of two dynasties. One is their disciplic succession and the other is the dynasty born of their semen. Both descendants belong to the same Gotra or dynasty. In the Vedic system, we sometimes find that both Brahmanas and Kshatriyas and even Vaishyas come in the disciplic succession of the same rishis. Because the Gotra and dynasty are one, there is no difference between the disciples and the family born of the seaman. The same system still prevails in Indian society, especially in regard to marriage, for which the Gotra is calculated. Here the word Gotraja refers to those born in the same dynasty, whether they be disciples or members of the family. Actually, I was not planning to speak today. It is really embarrassing situation to speak in front of superior devotees, especially my own parents are sitting. But since that some devotees were repeatedly telling, so I felt that maybe it's Krishna speaking through them, so I thought I'll try to prepare something and speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. So today, we are reading from this 9th canto, 1st chapter. So in this particular chapter, Maharaj Parikshit started this chapter by asking an inquiry. He asked an inquiry that he wanted to know about the other Manus. In fact, in the beginning of this chapter, Maharaj Parikshit asked a question to Shukdev Goswami. He said, "My dear Lord Shukdev Goswami, you have elaborately described all the periods of the various Manus, and within those periods, the wonderful activities of the Supreme Lord. I am fortunate to have heard all of this from you." And then he asks a question. He says, "Kindly describe to us separately the dynasties and characteristics of all those kings, for we are always eager to hear such topics from you." So Maharaj Parikshit wanted to hear about all the kings who are actually born in the dynasty of the different Manus. So it's very interesting that Maharaj Parikshit is asking this question. So Parikshit Maharaj was actually cursed to die within 7 days. So he just has 7 days to live. And in the beginning, when Parikshit Maharaj asked question to Shukdev Goswami as to what is the duty of a person who is about to die and what is the duty of a person who is in all circumstances, Shukdev Goswami concluded by saying that the duty of a person in all circumstances is to always hear, chant and remember the Supreme Lord. But although Parikshit Maharaj got this answer, so naturally one would expect that Parikshit Maharaj would want to directly hear about the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Personality of God, Krishna, or his different incarnation. But then we see that Parikshit Maharaj asks questions about different dynasties, the different Manus. So why actually Parikshit Maharaj is asking these questions? So His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, when he was giving a Bhagavatam class, on the 8th canto, 1st chapter. In the beginning of the 8th canto also, Parikshit Maharaj posed a similar question. Parikshit Maharaj asked a question, "Please tell me the activities, the dynasties of the past Manus, the present Manu and the future Manu." So just before the 8th canto, in the 7th canto, Parikshit Maharaj heard about the pastimes of Narsingadev and Prahlad Maharaj. How Prahlad Maharaj took full shelter of Narsingadev and Narsingadev came and protected Prahlad Maharaj. So that whole pastime, the theme of the whole pastime is, it tells that how how a devotee, when he constantly remembers the Supreme Lord comes and protects him. So that whole theme of that pastime is complete dependence of the Supreme Lord. It glorifies Prahlad Maharaj's surrender, Prahlad Maharaj's remembrance of Krishna in all circumstances. But after hearing that pastime, Parikshit Maharaj asked a question, just like in the beginning of this chapter also, the 8th canto beginning also, he asked a question that, "Please describe about the future Manus, the present Manus, etc." So His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj is asking, why actually Parikshit Maharaj is asking that question? He said, Parikshit Maharaj is asking about Manus because Parikshit Maharaj is so intelligent, so cultured and so self-realized that he understood what he is going to ask Shukdev Goswami is about Krishna. Because everything is about Krishna if it is understood correctly. So Parikshit Maharaj is such a highly elevated soul that he understood that the questions which he asked about the Manus, that is also about Krishna. How is it about Krishna? Why is he actually asking about the Manus? What makes the question about the Manus so important? The reason is because the Lord incarnates repeatedly in every Manvantara and he performs various activities. So because of that, even the question about the Manus, the administrators of the universe, that is also a question about the Krishna only. Because Krishna incarnates in every Manvantara. And His Holiness Radhat Maharaj was saying that even if a person asks about weather report to Shukadeva Goswami, Shukadeva Goswami will give the weather report only in connection with Krishna. So Parikshit Maharaj had complete confidence that whatever he would ask to Shukadeva Goswami, Shukadeva Goswami would answer that only in relation to Krishna. So, like, just like Srila Prabhupada, like sometimes different people would come to meet Srila Prabhupada. Like once a person who was into car racing came to meet Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was talking with that person about car racing. Then after talking for a while, then he asked, so in car racing, do accidents happen? He said, oh, definitely accidents happen very often. So then Prabhupada asked, so do people die also in the accident? And he said, yeah, definitely people die. So can you solve this problem of death? And he had no answer. And then Prabhupada started speaking about birth, old age, disease, death. So whatever Prabhupada would speak, he would connect everything to Krishna. So here also, although Parikshit Maharaj is asking about the dynasties of different kings, but all these narrations are connected to the Supreme Lord. In fact, very soon, few chapters later, all these descriptions of the dynasty will lead to the description of the personality King Ambarish Maharaj and his glorious characteristics. So in this way we see that everything in the Srimad Bhagavatam is ultimately connected with the Supreme Lord. And then coming to the verse today, Shukadeva Goswami is mentioning in one of the verses, he's actually narrating this story of King Sudyumna, how this King Sudyumna, when he was transformed into when he became a woman, this king of the moon planet Buddha became attracted towards Sudyumna, then Buddha married Sudyumna. And then Shukadeva Goswami says, I heard from reliable sources that King Sudyumna, the son of Manu, having thus achieved femininity, remembered his familial spiritual master Vasishta. So Shukadeva Goswami is mentioning, I heard from reliable sources. So whatever Shukadeva Goswami is narrating, he is narrating according to what he has heard from his previous spiritual masters. So that is actually the culture, that when a person actually poses a particular argument, when a person is narrating something, he bases his arguments based on the higher authorities who are coming in the disciplic succession. So that is a system of parampara. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the 13th chapter, when Krishna was telling to Arjuna, Krishna was telling about the field of activities. Krishna says, Takshetram yachya yadragcha, yad vikari yatascha yad. Sachayo yat prabhavascha tat samasena meshunu. Krishna said, now I am going to describe in brief about the field of activities. And I am going to tell what are the constituents of the field of activities and what its changes are and whence it is produced and who is the knower of the field of activities and what its influences are. But then Krishna uses the word, tat samasena meshunu. I'm going to describe briefly about the field of activities. So as soon as Arjuna hears this verse, Arjuna asks the question to Krishna. Arjuna asks Krishna, so you are going to describe in brief, but then where can I get a detailed description? Where can I find a detailed description of the same field of activities? So Krishna says in the next verse, Rishibir Bahudha Gitam Chandobir Vividai Pratak Brahma Sutra Padaischaiva Hetu Madbair Vinishchitai. Krishna says, the same description is described in great detail by the great sages in different Vedic writings. He says, and especially in the Vedanta Sutra or Brahma Sutra, all these field of activities are described in great reasoning as to what is the cause and effect. So the point is that Krishna is saying the same thing is described by the great sages in the Vedanta Sutra. So Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of all the Vedas. But still, Krishna is actually following the culture of quoting the Vedic authorities. So Krishna, there is no need for Krishna to quote the Vedic authorities. But even Krishna is actually following this culture. The same thing is described by the great sages, as if the sages are superior to him, as if the Vedas are superior to him. In fact, Krishna is the source of the knowledge of the sages and Krishna is the source of the Vedas. But still, Krishna is following this culture of quoting the superior authorities. So this is the system of parampara. That when a person is speaking, he actually quotes the previous authorities. Like usually, there's always this tendency to say something new. But we find again and again the character of the devotees. The devotees, they just quote the previous authorities, but in a way that people can relate to it. But the mood is basically following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas by quoting the previous authorities. And then we find this same culture in another place in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is this chapter entitled Purusha Sukta Confirmed. The chapter 6 is entitled Purusha Sukta Confirmed. So in that chapter, Lord Brahma is giving a description of universal form to Narada Muni. And then he concludes that description by glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. So basically, the conclusion of the chapter is the purpose of the Purusha Sukta prayers is to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is told by Lord Brahma to Narada Muni. And then we find in the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Chitraketu Maharaj surrenders to Narada Muni, Narada Muni instructs Chitraketu Maharaj. He actually instructs Chitraketu Maharaj to recite a particular prayer to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In one of those prayers, Narada Muni is speaking a verse. In that prayer, Narada Muni says that the Supreme Lord is glorified by the Purusha Sukta prayers. Supreme Lord is one who is actually glorified by the Purusha Sukta prayers. So we see again the same culture. So Narada Muni had heard from Brahma that the purpose of the Purusha Sukta prayers is to glorify the Supreme Personality of God. And he is glorifying the same truth to Chitraketu Maharaj, which we find in the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So basically, we find the same culture that whatever a person hears from his spiritual master, he actually instructs the same thing to his disciple. So Narada Muni heard from Lord Brahma about the Purusha Sukta prayer, and then he is telling to Chitraketu Maharaj that the Supreme Lord is one who is actually glorified by the Purusha Sukta prayers. So this is actually the system of parampara system, which we find in this particular verse, when we hear that Sukadeva Goswami is saying that I heard from reliable sources. And another point which we see is that Lord Prabhupada, especially in this purport, he is talking about this particular point. He is talking about this point of Gotraja. So this King Sudyumna, when he became a woman, he actually he became sad and he started remembering his spiritual master, Vasishtha. And then Vasishtha started performing sacrifices to please Lord Shiva. Because of Lord Shiva's actually curse, King Sudyumna became a woman. When King Sudyumna entered that forest, because in that forest Lord Shiva was enjoying with Parvati, so Lord Shiva had actually made a curse that anybody who would actually enter, any male who would enter this forest, he would immediately become a female. So that because of the Lord Shiva's curse, Sudyumna became a woman. So because Sudyumna was morose and he remembered his spiritual master Vasishtha, so Vasishtha wanted to help Sudyumna. So Vasishtha performed sacrifice to Lord Shiva, to please Lord Shiva, so that again Sudyumna can regain his male form. So when then Lord Shiva became pleased with Vasishtha, and then Lord Shiva said to Vasishtha, "Your disciple Sudyumna may remain a male for 1 month and a female for the next. In this way, he may rule the world as he likes." So in the purport, the word used is Gotraja. So Srila Prabhupada comments on this particular word. Prabhupada says, the Gotraja says that in the Vedic system, we sometimes find that both Brahmanas and Kshatriyas and even Vaishyas come in the disciplic succession of the same rishis. So when a rishi is there, he is having two disciplic succession. One is the disciplic succession through his semen, that is the disciplic succession through his family, and the other is the disciplic succession through the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas whom he instructs. So these are the two disciplic succession. So Srila Prabhupada says, because the Gotra and the dynasty are one, there is no difference between the disciples and the family born of the semen. So it's a very important point. So basically Prabhupada is making a point that whether one may be connected to a great soul through a family connection, one may be connected to a great soul through family, and another may be connected to a great soul by taking instructions from him. So both are actually connected to the great soul. So there is no difference whether a person follows the great soul by taking instructions from him, or whether a person follows the great soul because he is a superior family member. So what is important is to follow in the footsteps of the great soul. So if one follows in the footsteps of the great soul, there is no difference whether he is actually born in the family or whether he is not born in the family. So, I usually give this example which I heard from Gaur Gopal Ruhu. It's a very inspiring example. In the Bhagavad Gita, we find that Bhagavad Gita begins by Dhritarashtra asking a question to Sanjaya. "Please tell me what happened in the battlefield. What did my sons do and what did the Pandavas do after assembling in the battlefield of Kurukshetra?" And in response to this question, Sanjaya actually narrates what actually happened in the battlefield. And then he narrates that how Arjuna became depressed, and then he went to Krishna, and then he became confused, he surrendered to Krishna, and then Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita. So then after hearing Gita, Arjuna again, how he regained his memory, and then he decided to fight. So we find here, Bhagavad Gita was heard both by Dhritarashtra and also by Arjuna. Arjuna heard Bhagavad Gita directly from Krishna, and Dhritarashtra also heard Bhagavad Gita, because Sanjaya narrated the whole Bhagavad Gita to Dhritarashtra. But then, both had different effects. After hearing Gita, what effect did it have on Arjuna? Arjuna says in the 18th chapter, he says, Nashta moho smritir labdva tvat prasadat mayachyuta. Sitosmi gata sandeha karishye vachanam tava. Arjuna said that Nashta moho smritir labdva. My illusion is dispelled. I have regained my memory. Tvat prasadat mayachyuta. I have regained my memory by your mercy. Sitosmi gata sandeha. All my doubts are completely eradicated. Karishye vachanam tava. Now I will do whatever you say. So Krishna was ready to execute whatever Krishna, Arjuna was ready to execute whatever Krishna desired. So Arjuna completely surrendered to Krishna. But then Dhritarashtra also heard Bhagavad Gita from Sanjaya. But then even after hearing Bhagavad Gita from Sanjaya, Dhritarashtra was not transformed. In fact, after the battle was over, Dhritarashtra still had that enmity towards the Pandavas, especially towards Bhima, because Bhima was the person who killed all the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra. So when Bhima came to meet Dhritarashtra, he actually wanted to crush Bhima to pieces. So Krishna, understanding the mood of Dhritarashtra, Krishna stopped Bhima and Krishna told Dhritarashtra, this is Bhima. He pointed to the pillar. So Dhritarashtra, thinking that pillar to be Bhima, came and embraced that pillar, and then out of enmity towards Bhima, he actually crushed that pillar to pieces. So Dhritarashtra still had that enmity. So Dhritarashtra was not transformed by Bhagavad Gita. So what is the reason? Because Dhritarashtra did not hear in a submissive mood. So here we find an interesting point, that Dhritarashtra is the son of Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva is the compiler of the Vedic literatures and Vyasadeva is the supreme personality of Godhead himself. So Dhritarashtra is the direct son of Vyasadeva. And Sanjaya is the disciple of Vyasadeva. So Sanjaya also heard the Gita. But Sanjaya says, Vyasa Prashada Shrutavan Etad Guhyam Ahamparam. Sanjaya says, by the mercy of Vyasadeva, I heard this Bhagavad Gita. And as I remember this wonderful conversation which happened between Krishna and Arjuna, my hairs are standing on end. So Sanjaya was feeling great ecstasy when he actually remembered this wonderful conversation which happened between Krishna and Arjuna. So Sanjaya is a disciple of Vyasadeva, but then he was transformed by hearing Bhagavad Gita. But Dhritarashtra is the son of Vyasadeva, but he was not transformed. So which is important, whether to be a disciple or to be a son? So one has to be a follower of the great soul. That is more important than simply being connected with the great soul by being a son of the great soul. So this is very important because, like, even in India, like, those who are born in this land of India, they are so fortunate because they are connected with the great spiritual culture of India. But then, one may be born in India, but then one may not be following the Vedic culture. On the other hand, like, somebody may be born in the Western countries, but then if he is following the Vedic culture, that person is actually superior to a person who is born in India, but who has no interest in following the Vedic culture. So that is why it is important that one has to follow the Vedic culture, one has to follow the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Following is more important than simply being connected through family. And we again find this principle in one more place in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, when I read this verse, it was very inspiring when I read this verse for the first time. In the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in one particular verse, I think Narada Muni is instructing to Vasudeva. In one particular verse, he talks about this concept of Atmaha, or killer of the soul. So when you hear this term, killer of the soul, this concept is being talked about in different places. In this particular verse, it's a very interesting principle is being brought out. So Narada Muni is saying, ये कैवल्यम असंप्राप्त ये चातितास्य मूढताम त्रैवर्गिक्या असं अक्षणिक आत्मानं गातयन्ति ते. सो नारद मुनि सेइंग ये कैवल्यम असंप्राप्त दोस who do not have knowledge of the absolute truth, but who are actually beyond the gross modes of ignorance, ye chatitascha mudatam, such people, they generally engage in dharma, artha and kama. So we'll find people who are actually pious, who will not be grossly in the mode of ignorance, but then they will not have knowledge of the absolute truth and they will be following the religious principles. But then Narada Muni is saying Traivargargika Akshanika Atmanam Gatayantite. But such people, not having a moment to spare to inquire about the goal of life, they actually kill their own souls. So Narada Muni is condemning actually material piety. He says that there may be people who may be materially pious, they may not be indulging in gross sinful activities. Like in the Western countries, people may be indulging in gross sinful activities like intoxication, illicit sex, gambling and meat eating. But then there may be people in India, they may not be indulging in gross sinful activities. But then they do not have knowledge of the absolute truth and they may be engaged in many religious activities. They may be engaged in dharma, artha and kama. But such people, akshanika means not having a moment to spare about the goal or purpose of life, they actually kill their own selves. Atmanam gata yantite, they murder their own souls. That's what the translation says. So Shri Hridayanand Maharaj gives a very interesting analogy. He says, sometimes when a person is having a disease, say for example, if somebody is having a high fever, and then he is diagnosed of malaria. So when he is diagnosed of malaria, he starts taking the malaria medicine. So there is a course, malaria medicine. But then after taking the first two tablets, the fever becomes completely nil. So then the person thinks, oh, now the fever is completely nil, so I don't have to take the full course. So I can just, because fever is, I become completely, there's no more fever, so I can stop the medication. Or sometimes a person may take the full course, but after taking the malaria course, one has to take some medicines so that it does not relapse. So one may think, oh, I already taken the chloroquine, I have taken the full course of chloroquine. So what is the need to take these additional medicines? So he may stop taking those. So because he stops taking those medicines, again the malaria comes after a few months. So similarly, sometimes we find people who are actually very much pious. They may not be, they may not perform any sinful activities, and they may be thinking, oh, what is the need to take to spirituality? What is the need? I don't need to inquire about the purpose of life. So Narada Muni is condemning about such people. He says that such people, not having a moment to spare about the goal of life, even such people are considered as killer of the soul. So we again see, again the same theme, that whether a person is actually born in a family or the follower of the great soul or connected to the great soul, both are same. If a person is following the great soul, that is the ultimate, that is the purpose of being connected to the great soul. In fact, in the first canto purport, Prabhupada makes a very interesting point. He says that when Prabhupada wrote that purport in the first canto, that time there was war was going on between India and China. So Prabhupada says, now previously India and China, they were actually living peacefully because both the countries were God conscious. But now India and China, they are fighting over a land which is not useful for both the countries. It is an uninhabitable land. They are fighting over such a land. So why are they fighting over such an uninhabitable land? So Prabhupada says because the Kali Yuga is actually filled with quarrel and hypocrisy, because the whole atmosphere is filled with nescience. Because people have forgotten God, so people are fighting over things which are not useful for neither of them. So Prabhupada says, so the duty of the Indians is to actually propagate the glorification of the name and fame of the Supreme Personality of God. And then he makes an interesting point. He says that because Indians have forgotten, Indians have failed to discharge their duty to propagate the name and fame of the Supreme Personality of Godhead all over the world, that is why we find quarrel all over the world, quarrel and problems all over the world. So Prabhupada is putting the whole responsibility on the Indians. He says that because the Indians have actually failed to do the duty, that is why the whole world is actually suffering. So we find this point that a person may be connected to a great soul, but then if he is not actually utilizing that connection, if he is not utilizing that opportunity, then the reaction is actually greater. So one may be born in the land of India, but the duty of Indians is not to simply get an engineering or doctorate degree and go abroad, but actually the main purpose of Indians is to perfect their own life by learning the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, and then actually help others. Because that's what we find in the instructions of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then, another point we find here, that when Lord Shiva, when Vasishtha Muni actually performed sacrifice to please Lord Shiva, so Lord Shiva was pleased with Vasishtha. And in order to satisfy Vasishtha Muni and to keep his own word to Parvati, Lord Shiva said to the saintly person. So Lord Shiva had given word to Parvati that any male who enters this particular forest will immediately become a female. And so he had already given that word to Parvati. But now Vasishtha Muni is actually performing a sacrifice so that Sudyumna again becomes a man. So Lord Shiva wanted to satisfy both the parties. So he says that, so your disciple will become a male for 1 month and a female for the next. In this way, he may rule the world as he likes. So Lord Shiva satisfied both the parties. So here we find this principle that a great soul is actually a well-wisher of everyone. He does not want to hurt any living entity. So that is the nature of a great soul. He wants to actually accommodate everyone. He does not envy anyone. He wants to actually, is concerned with the welfare of every person. So that is the nature of a great soul. So we find in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the second verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned, Dharma Projita Kaitavotra Paramo Nirmat Saranam Satam. So second verse is described, Bhagavatam says that this Srimad Bhagavatam propounds the highest spiritual subject matter. And it kicks out all the cheating religions. Dharma Projita Kaitavotra. It kicks out all the cheating religions. And it is meant for the Paramo Nirmat Saranam. It is meant for the people who are completely free from envy. So when Jiva Goswami writes a comment on this particular verse in the Sandarbhas, he talks about this particular word, Kaitava Dharma. He says that Bhagavatam kicks out all the cheating religion. He says that even if a person has one desire apart from the desire to please Krishna, that is called a cheating religion. So Bhagavatam kicks out even that religion, that is, even if a person has one desire apart from the desire to please Krishna, Bhagavatam actually kicks out that. It's such a heavy statement. One may think, how can a person practice such a religion? Because we are actually filled with so many desires. So how can we actually, it is such a tall order to completely, to be free from all desires, which are actually apart from the desire to please Krishna. But the same Bhagavatam says in the second canto, Akama sarva kamova moksha kama udharati tivrena bhakti yogena ejayata purusham param. Bhagavatam says that whether a person is having all desires, either a person is filled with all material desires, or whether a person is having no desire, or whether a person is having a desire for liberation, one should simply perform intense devotional service to the Supreme Lord Hari. So we find that Bhagavatam is, in one place, is very strict. In another place, it is actually accommodating. It is accommodating all kinds of people. It is encouraging all kinds of people to perform devotional service. So, as many of students who have assembled, so you may have many ambition to excel in the studies or to get a big degrees. So whatever may be the ambition, so one should actually perform devotional service to the Supreme Lord Krishna. So by performing devotional service to Krishna, so one will be, all one's ambitions will be completely fulfilled. So that is the recommendation of Srimad Bhagavatam. So whether you want to get first rank in your school, or whether you want to get first rank in the state, or whether you want to become a doctor or engineer, so the recommendation of Srimad Bhagavatam is one should actually worship Krishna. So the easiest way to worship Krishna is by chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this is the simplest way to actually worship Krishna or perform devotional service to Krishna. So by this simple process, even our material goals, like standing first in the class, all this will be fulfilled. Of course, we have to work hard separately for studies also. So along with that, one should chant the holy names. And then we find in this particular verse, Prabhupada makes a very interesting comment about this particular word, Nirmat Sarana. In fact, I heard this, I think Nandadulal Prabhu was talking about this particular purport, one of the, I think, Brahmachari class or something. So that time I was very inspired. So when Prabhupada talks about this particular word, Nirmat Saranam, Nirmat Saranam says non-envious. So Srimad Bhagavatam says that this literature is meant for those who are completely free from envy, Nirmat Sara. So Prabhupada talks about this non-enviousness. In fact, he talks about different degrees of non-enviousness. He says, the first degree is that a person who is non-envious, he does not compete with others. He does not compete with others. And the higher degree is, he says that devotees are, they are not only just free from envy, but they are actually well-wishers of everyone. So one level is that simply not competing with others, but another higher level is to be well-wishers of everyone. But even higher level, non-enviousness, the third degree non-enviousness, Prabhupada says, the devotees are not only free from envy, but they are well-wishers of everyone, but they strive to establish a competition-less society for the benefit of everyone. So that is like a highest degree of non-enviousness. So we find in this world, there are so many great souls, so many saints we find in this world. Definitely we find so many great souls. So they are actually, many of them, many times we find they are actually non-envious. They do not actually trouble, they do not compete with others. But then they may not be actively wishing welfare of the human society. That is like a higher degree. So they may be sad, they may not compete with others, they may be satisfied with their bhajans, they may be satisfied with their spiritual practices. We find so many places. But then they may not be actively wanting to do welfare, they may not be wishing well for others. And still, we may find others who may be well-wishers of everyone, but then we may not find people who are wanting to establish a competitionless society, who are working hard to establish a competitionless society. So, if we find the character of Srila Prabhupada, he was not simply non-envious. He was well-wisher of everyone, but he was not simply well-wisher of everyone, but he worked hard to establish a competitionless society. He travelled all over the world, and just in a matter of 10 years, he travelled 14 times all over the world in the late 70s. And he strived to establish a competitionless society. So in this way, Prabhupada actually exhibited the highest degree of non-enviousness. So that is why Srila Prabhupada's example is unique in the actually history of Vaishnavism. Although we don't want to compare one Vaishnava with another Vaishnava, but still we see this actually character in Srila Prabhupada, how Prabhupada's character is greater than others, how Prabhupada had such a wonderful character that he strived to establish a competitionless society all over the world. So that is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Nectar of Devotion, when Rupa Goswami describes the characteristics of devotional service, when he describes the second characteristic of devotional service, he says the second characteristic is Shubhata, all auspiciousness. And he says, so there are four criteria for anything to be all auspicious. So the first two criteria is that when a person performs devotional service, he'll develop these two qualities. That is, a person will become attractive to everyone and he'll develop affection for all living entities. So he'll develop these two qualities. And the third criteria for Shubhata is mentioned is that a devotee will develop all the good qualities. So if we see, the first two criteria they are actually included in the third criteria. Because first two criteria, they are two good qualities which a person will develop. And the third criteria says that a person will develop all the good qualities. So when you say that a person will develop all good qualities, what is the need to mention some good qualities separately? Somebody is going to write an exam in some other place. So mother will ask the student, mother will ask the son, so have you taken everything for your journey? Have you taken toilet kit, etc.? But then he'll separately say, have you taken the hall ticket and have you taken the train ticket? Because these two are the most important. Because in that question, have you taken everything? Everything includes everything. But still, hall ticket and train ticket are most important, so that will be asked separately. So similarly, when Rupa Goswami describes the Shubhata, he says that a devotee will develop all good qualities. So it includes all good qualities, but still he mentions these two good qualities separately. That is, a devotee will develop affection for all living entities and he will actually attract the attention all devotees will develop affection towards such a devotee. So he mentions these two qualities separately because these two qualities are the essence of all the good qualities. So we find these two good qualities, that although we find so many great souls, but Prabhupada exhibited these two good qualities, these two qualities to the highest degree. There are so many saints and great souls so many gurus are there in India and in the world. But then if we find their followers, they will have followers only from a particular community. Only from Maharashtrians or Gujaratis, or only from, say, Tamilians or this particular community. So that means they actually do not have pure devotional service. Because if a person has actually performed pure devotional service, he will attract the attention of all kinds of people, not just one particular community, not just Indians, not just Maharashtrians. He will attract the attention of everyone. And he will have affection for all living entities. It is not that he will only preach to one particular community. He will have affection for all living entities. So we find like so many gurus, but then we do not find them exhibiting these two qualities. They have not attracted the attention of all kinds of people. But then we find in Srila Prabhupada, it's not that he attracted only Indians. He attracted the attention of, affection of Americans, Europeans, Africans. Whomever, wherever he traveled, he actually attracted so many people. So that shows that Prabhupada was a person who was actually, he manifested the qualities of pure devotional service to the highest extent. This confirms that Prabhupada is a pure devotee. And then we find that like so many people, although they may be big gurus, but they may not have affection for all living entities. Like I told this story which I heard from one devotee. So this devotee was a big follower of one particular spiritual guru before coming to Krishna consciousness. So later he came in contact with the devotees, and then he was caught between following Hare Krishna or his previous guru. So he saw that these Hare Krishna devotees are also practicing like chanting Hare Krishna mantra. They're following like all these four regulative principles. They're following the spirituality nicely. And then he went, but he saw that this previous guru was not showing so much favor. He was not encouraging, he was not speaking appreciatively, he was not giving appreciation about the Hare Krishnas. So he went to the previous guru and asked, you see that these Hare Krishna devotees are practicing Krishna consciousness so nicely. So why are you not appreciating them? So this previous guru said, because at that time, the most of the Hare Krishna devotees, they were actually foreigners. So he said, if an onion is kept in a room, how much ever, like if onion, if so much of onion is kept in a room, even if you put tons of perfume, can you actually avoid the smell of the onion? So similarly, he was saying that even when a person is born in a Western, in the Western countries, even if they practice Krishna consciousness, how can they actually, how can they become elevated? How can they become devotees? How can they become Brahmanas or Vaishnavas? So he was a great spiritual leader, but then he was not having faith in the process of Krishna consciousness. Because when a person chants the holy name of the Lord, regardless of one's particular background, regardless of whether a person is coming from a background of Malaysia or Yavana, he can become elevated. Although he was actually practicing spirituality, but he was actually preaching only to one particular community. He was not having affection towards everyone. And he did not have faith, complete faith in the process which he was practicing. So basically we find this particular quality that in the character of Srila Prabhupada, he exhibited these two qualities, affection for all living entities, and he attracted the attention or affection of all living entities to the supreme most degree. So that is why Srila Prabhupada's example is actually unique in the history of Vaishnavism. So finally, I'll just conclude this particular verse in the Bhagavad Gita. There also we find the same theme. When Arjuna, when he sees the people assembled in the battlefield, he says, Tan samikshyasa kaunteya sarvan bandhum avasthita. Kripaya paraya vishtu vishidan idam abravit. After assembling all the relatives assembled in the battlefield, Arjuna became overcome with compassion and then he started speaking the words. There it is said, Kripaya paraya vishtu. So Arjuna, the word paraya, Prabhupada gives a translation as, he was having a compassion of high degree. So what is that high degree? So Arjuna was compassionate not only to the soldiers on his side, he was also compassionate to the soldiers on the other side. He was thinking, oh, all these soldiers, even the soldiers on the opposite side, they will be killed. He was having compassion for even for the enemies. So that is the quality of a devotee, that he is actually well-wisher of everyone. So we find this quality in the exhibited by Lord Shiva. The Lord Shiva did not want to hurt Parvati, nor did she want to hurt Vasishta. So in order to satisfy both the parties, he actually gave, oh, Sudyumna will become a male for 1 month and a female for another month. So to summarize, so today we discussed about, first we discussed about Parishit Maharaj asking this question about the Manus and the different dynasties. And we said that how this question about the different kings and the dynasties is actually related with Krishna. And then we talked about this particular theme, that how Shukadeva Goswami is speaking based on the reliable sources, but how he is following the parampara system. And then we talked about this theme of being connected to a great soul and being a follower of a great soul. We give the example of Sanjaya and Dhritarashtra. And then finally we talked about this quality of Lord Shiva being well-wisher of everyone. So I'll stop here since it's beyond time. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.